So, any questions from the...
Alright, one question from the viewers. That Srila Sridhar Maharaj liked to structure his talks similar to Ramananda somewhat. So, did Govinda Maharaj have the similar things? The way...
Well... Srila Govinda Maharaj... Srila Gurudev, he is with Srila Guru Maharaj for so long, for so many years. How much of what is coming out of him you can trace and say, oh, that's Guru Maharaj. Sometimes you can do that. Sometimes we hear Srila Sridhar Maharaj or Srila Swami Maharaj say something and then you can realize, oh, they heard this from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You find that out. And it's a very delightful thing to see the guru come out of the disciples. And I know when, in my own experience, we only knew Prabhupada. Prabhupada was, you know, be-all and end-all, everything. We only knew Prabhupada. After this, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. After the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, coming connection with Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and under the, not just whimsically going from this place to that place to hear what everybody has to say, not like that, but because Prabhupada gave this indication, therefore hearing from Guru Maharaj. In the beginning, because I was familiar with Srila Prabhupada's books, his tapes, his letters, I would hear Srila Guru Maharaj say things, and then I would think to myself, oh yeah, Prabhupada also said that, or in this purport he, and always sort of thinking like Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnav verification kind of thing. And I just am underscoring this to reiterate that we are not just whimsically floating here and there, hearing what anybody and everybody has to say about Krishna, even Krishna consciousness. And to they know the prohibition of Srila Sanatana Goswami, Avaishnava mukod girnam putam harikatam ritam sravanam naiva kartavyam sarpo chistam yatapayo. Although in one place we're told, hearing about Krishna is life-giving nectar, right? We're told that that's what we should do with our time, our lives. Shrotavyas kirtitavyas cha smartavyas chaichchadhabayam. It's Sukadev the Parikid. It's the Gopi Gita. It's Nama Sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam pranamo dukasamanas tam namami harimpuram. It's the beginning, middle, and end of the Bhagavatam. But here, Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, who's the Bhakti Siddhanta Acharya, the Sambandhagyan Acharya, is saying, Shravanam Naiva Kartavyam. Don't hear about Krishna from just anybody and everybody. Why? Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadhyanavritam. For it to be pure Shuddha Bhakti, there has to be no ulterior motives. So he's saying, in some cases, not to hear. So anyway, hearing from Guru Maharaj and many times referencing things that had been heard from Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj. But then at a particular point, having developed an increasing faith in Srila Guru Maharaj, I was thinking, I mean, he does not need to be certified by me. You know, I'm not here. My position is not to approve or disapprove of what he's saying, or prove or disprove. Right? Srila Prabhupada himself said, you know, I accept him as my Shiksha Guru, what to speak of the benefit that you can get from hearing from him. So he, as unthinkable as it may have been to his followers, he's saying, I see him and as Guru. And, you know, and Shiksha Guru, So then I thought, really, this method that I'm applying can be offensive or an impediment to the development of faith. As Guru Maharaj again would remind us, we're to see Guru as Nitya Siddha, not Sadhan Siddha or Kripa Siddha, but Nitya Siddha for the maximum amount of faith to develop in the disciple. And that's a whole other subject. But really, if Guru's functioning principle of divinity revealing himself, shall we think any less of Krishna? Right? So Krishna's passing through. It's divine agency. Acharjam mam bijaniyat navamanyeta karhachid. So, I thought, whatever it is I think I know about Krishna consciousness, I'm going to shelve that for a while. Just put it to the side, into the background, and just concentrate on hearing from him fully, fresh and fully, with full faith. Shraddha shabde yasya deve pura bhakti yata deve tatagaro tasyoite katita hiyarta prakashante mahatmana. Implicit faith, Krishna and Guru, as much faith as there in Krishna, equal to that or more in Guru. Then prakashante mahatmana. Then there'll be some illumination, enlightenment, revelation. So I thought, I will benefit more if I place full faith in Guru Maharaj. And then at a future date, in the future, I'll be in a better position to sift through what I thought I knew or had learned, and see, is this something that needs to be retained, or is this something that needs to be dispensed with? Because as Guru Maharaj says, we should not be overly confident in our own judgment of things. We may, and we hear in the Bhakti Lata Bid section of the Rupa Shiksha, we can accumulate some unwanted things along the way as well. Weeds. That, you know, the devotional creeper needs to be weeded. Like here, you know, from working with it, you have to get rid of the weeds. Otherwise, there won't be, even though you're watering and doing everything else, there won't be proper growth. The growth can be stunted. So it's a dynamic process. So Guru Maharaj would say in one of his aphoristic sayings, you know, progress means elimination and a new acceptance. Right? Like eating to vitality every day. We eat means we ingest something fresh and eliminate what is non-essential. Right? After what is fresh and vital has been extracted, what is non-essential is eliminated. That's the progressive way. So I thought, I will be in a better position if I concentrate fully on hearing from Guru Maharaj to then look and see what I'm carrying and what should be retained and what should be dismissed. And so in time, and I remember saying this to Guru Maharaj one day, I was increasingly happy to no longer view him as a mirror of Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj, that thing like, Prabhupada's what a pure devotee is, any other one would have to be an exact duplicate or replica of him. But when I saw, oh, they're both pure devotees, but they're unique personalities. And there are some things they say that are similar. They give some similar examples. And I could understand, oh, some of these examples come from their Guru Maharaj. Or some of these things they're preaching are standard Gaudiya Mat Siddhanta that everyone shall learn who's connected, you know, the Brahma Stuti or the certain things that all preachers will learn. Or Gaudiya Kantahara, that favorite book of Saraswati Thakur, which he said is like an armory for the preachers. So they know there's... But then I saw there are things that are unique to each one of them. Then that made me very happy. And I even said to Guru Maharaj, one point when we started talking a little bit in shorthand, like having a developing relationship, I said, I didn't know that it could be like this. Meaning, like, you're unique. Prabhupada, he's an individual. You're an individual. There are shared things, but there are what is, like the French say, vive la différence. The unique aspects of each one of you is very endearing. And Guru Maharaj himself would give examples like, you know, you say, like, what's today? Saturday. Every day is not Sunday. Right? There's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. They're all days of the week, right? You know, you have, you know, there's your hand. You have a thumb, an index finger, a middle finger, a ring finger, and a little finger. They're all good. You know, you say, no, I really like the index finger. Cause, you know, like, I get it. You know, like, but, you know, without the thumb, what do they call it? The opposable thumb. Anyway, I'm not a scientist, but you know what I'm talking about. There's our resident scientist. You know what an opposable thumb is, right? Of course you do. It was on the exam. It means how you grab things. That type of a thumb, right? That's all silly. So we think that what makes us human beings is this? No, there's something more profound than that. And I like to remind us, people very fond of the American, Declaration of Independence, where it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. People go, oh, I like the sound of that. It's really noble and, you know, and they think these men were so enlightened and they began their... You know, the foundation in this way. But it's not a comprehensive statement, right? What about women? What about people of color? You know, many other things need to be included. So I like to restate it as all beings are eternally unique. That's more joyous. That goes beyond the human civilization. To animals, includes everyone, all beings, and what? Not just equal, and you know, soul, atma, but unique. That's what this is the real beauty of Krishna consciousness, is uniqueness. So that, you know, Rup, Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Jiva, Gopal Bhatta, Das Raghunath, we don't say that we know so much about them, but what we do know, there's the beauty of the position of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, the elder, Jiva Goswami, the young Jiva Goswami, Sanskrit scholar extraordinaire, defending, in essence, his uncles and what they've written. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, it's so beautiful and unique. And Kaviraj Goswami says, I accept them all, right, as my Shiksha Gurus. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Narottam Thakur, Prabodhananda Saraswati, the whole spiritual world, Lalita Bishakha. Right? So then I was very happy to see that. Personality-wise, Prabhupada and Guru, they're very different. And I thought, oh, this is a wonderful thing. It shows that in Krishna consciousness, we can accommodate many different personalities. So then what to speak of Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj? In the beginning, people, when they're thinking, everyone likes to define someone, right? And say, if someone said, well, what is he like? Or what is his position? So in the beginning, say of his acharyaship, there was a tendency to identify certain aspects of him that were reflective of Srila Guru Maharaj and certain other aspects that reflected Srila Prabhupada. So it was a very convenient shorthand for people to say, well, he's sort of like a combination of Prabhupada and Sridhar Maharaj. And we could say, well, that's like, in one sense, the ultimate compliment. To say you can find traces of both of them within them. But at a certain point, and that was useful, as I say, for a certain amount of time. But then Srila Govinda Maharaj is saying, like, am I personally nothing? You know, like, that's the only way I can be described, like a combination of Swami Maharaj and Guru. I have no independent personality, and those who know him and love him know that's the furthest thing from the truth. And he's not a mirror replica of Srila Guru Maharaj. Srila Guru Maharaj is a recluse living pretty much by himself in his room, and only Srila Govinda Maharaj, a few others, can visit him. Or stellar godbrothers, they'd come and stay at the mat to get Guru Maharaj's association. A select group, Gurudev, would allow to interact with Guru Maharaj. And Guru Maharaj, by his own admission, he'd say, he's always going on with his internal dialogue, his high thinking. He's really, I mean, he's also, and it's, I used to laugh about this, and like, you know, he's associating with himself. He's very good association. So he has always got this inner dialogue going. And I want to say, you know, when Guru Maharaj was in his late 80s, really, sometimes he would call me very excited, like with childlike excitement, and say, this just came to me the other day. Not like, I understood this 50 years ago, and I wrote it in the Prapanna Jivana. Not like that. New things. Always generating some new things. Gurudev himself, we're talking about different personalities and ways of presenting things. Srila Govinda Maharaj was familiar with all of the stellar disciples of Srila Saraswati Thakur, the main ones. You know, Srila Madhava Maharaj, Srila Keshava Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj, Ban Maharaj, Jaja Maharaj, all of these personalities. He served them personally as Guru Maharaj's assistant and servitor, and he knows their personalities, how they preach. He can say many things about them. So once, comparing three, Guru Maharaj and two others, it doesn't matter who the two others are. Gurudev gave this perfect analogy. He said about this one Maharaj, he said, with him, like a waterfall, you know, with great force and intensity, he said, but not clear, right? He said, the other one, he said, clear, like a pond, but a little, like, stagnant. And he said, Guru Maharaj, like a fountain springing from the unknown quarter, always giving something fresh. And, you know, we can say, oh, he's saying that, it's about his Gurudev, but it happens to be true. So anyway, Guru Maharaj is like that very solitary life living, right? Srila Gurudev, Lalita Kinsa, he is always surrounded by a group. If he goes in a car, every seat will be taken and more, right? I can't, like the American thing where you look on the highway and there's one person in every car. Like, would Gurudev would outlaw that if he's and on his veranda surrounded by people all day. Maybe the only time he's alone is like going to the bathroom. So he's another way. We see Srila Avadhut Maharaj. Once I was going on Parikrama with him and Govardhan. It was like two or three, maybe one other person. I thought it's just going to be the three of us. By the time we went through town, there was like 20 people in our group. There were kids, rickshaw wallahs, local, you know, like we were now in a group. That's natural for him. He's not trying to do that. It's natural. Just like Gurudev, he has the big like family concept that all the devotees, it's one big family and we move together as a family. So, and Guru Maharaj said that to me in the final days when we were shifting everything towards Srila Govinda Maharaj, he said that you will see, in many ways, he is more qualified than me. And what that means many things, but one of the things it meant specifically was this ability to deal with people like us, actually. Guru Maharaj was saying this in a very polite, soft, and diplomatic way. But that's one of the things he was saying is, Srila Govinda Maharaj, he can deal with all of you and your ways and your dramas and everything and not be upset by it. Where Guru Maharaj, you know, he'd be sitting there fanning himself and going, this makes me besides myself. He'd be making face, like, help! Whereas, so their arrangement is that everyone who wants a connection with Guru Maharaj, they'll be under the guidance of Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj. But back to the original point. So he knows better than anyone how Guru Maharaj answers certain questions. He knows all about Ramananda Sambad and everything that Guru Maharaj says. But still, he has his, and he can give those answers too. But he has his own way. As Guru Maharaj pointed out, he didn't come like tabula rasa, a blank slate. He was already highly evolved, right? If we don't say fully, we'll just say highly, right? And comes in connection with Guru Maharaj for like certain type of finishing. Just like Jiva Goswami went to school to learn Sanskrit, Guru Maharaj recognized in Srila Govinda Maharaj, he's the one who's worth putting that kind of training in. So he has a Sanskrit guru, we know Dr. Shastri. That was under Guru Maharaj's order. Guru Maharaj didn't have everybody do that, but someone who had that potential. So anyway, we can see by how he writes his sloka composition, similar to Guru Maharaj, still unique. And actually, on many of what Guru Maharaj is writing, and I've seen this in person, he and Gurudev together going over vocabulary, an alternate word, or you know the rules of Sanskrit poetry and meter and things like that. But still, he has his own unique way. And for those who eyes are open, they can see, this is reminiscent of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. This type of mood may be more reminiscent of Srila Swami Maharaj. And there may be some we don't recognize. Some, you know, A.B. Goswami Maharaj is very favorite of Gurudev and some others. And he learned from many of the godbrothers of Guru Maharaj. He learned things from them and imbibed certain things from them. That's why it says in his pranam mantram, Ashisha Sambhushitam, you know, Guru Ganai Ashisha Sambhushitam. He's ornamented with the blessings of Guru Maharaj's godbrothers, which are called Guru Varga. Right? So he learned something from all of them. He served all of them. They blessed him profusely. But he has his own way of interpreting things. But if you ask him, and you say, what does Guru Maharaj say about this? He can tell you Guru Maharaj's answer. But he may also give his own interpretation that's unique to him. So, same, same, but different. Achintya Bheda Bheda. And that's the beauty of it all. If someone said, well, what about Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami? And I said, if someone said, in fact, it was Guru Maharaj who said to Saraswati Thakur, remember, Guru Maharaj has this ability to weigh and measure as he does in the Bhaktivinoda Viraha Dasakam, where he's saying, Sri Gaura Anumatam Srupa Viditam Rupagrajain Adritam Rupadye Paribeshitam Ragugunai Ashvaditam Sevitam Jivadye Abhirakshitam Sukha Shiva Brahma Samanitam Sri Radha Padasevanamritam Aho Tadatumi Shobhavan. Saying, what is Srupa Damodar's position? He can identify. Right? Lalita Sakhi, Srupa Damodar. We're back to this, uniqueness. Right? Then Sanatana Goswami, what's worshipped by, what Mahaprabhu brought down, only Srupa Damodar knows fully. And what that is being worshipped by Sanatana Goswami, extended by Rupa Goswami in his writings, relished by Raghunath Das Goswami, tasted, and it's not losing its flavor, but the taste is becoming enhanced, and then extended to Krishnadas Kaviraj, etc. Jiva Goswami and Baladeva protecting it. Brahma, Sukha, and Shiva aspire for a drop of it, as does Uddhava. What is it? Radha Dasyam, and this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's gift to the world. So, why did I say that? His ability to weigh and measure. But what did I say before that? Huh? No one knows. Yes, and got something from them. But I lost my train of thought. Maybe it'll return. But he's talking about his ability to assess and identify a unique position. Oh, thank you. Good. Yes. So Guru Maharaj, he can see Rupa Goswami is taking Krishna Leela in one way, Sanatana Goswami is taking it in another way. So he asks Srila Saraswati Thakur, how are we to understand this? And the answer Saraswati Thakur gave, he said, it is adhoksaja, inconceivable. In a beautiful way. And that's what I want to say. Their uniqueness, it's adhoksaja, it's inconceivable. But that's the beauty of the whole thing. And that's why we don't, like Guru Maharaj said, should we retire the word adhoksaja? The word adhoksaja. We want to everything shall be in a box. Every person will be fit in a little box. What in English they call pigeonholing. If it doesn't fit in the box, it disturbs us. We want everything to fit in a little slot in the box, whatever it is. No. Cannot be. Especially Krishna and his devotees. When I was studying the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami and Prabhupada's Nectar Devotion, I remember the first half is like sadhana bhakti and vidhi bhakti and saying, showing you step by step identifiable stages and giving examples, Rupa Goswami. But when he gets to raga bhakti, he says, It's not like that. Every case is unique. So to explain this to you, I'm going to just give you examples of Raga Bhaktas, hear about them, how they behave and the sort of expressions they make, and you'll get it that way. But this is not going to be just step by step, incrementally, and pigeonholed. It cannot be. And I thought, how beautiful. Every one of them is unique. And we can say, well, those in, you know, Subal's group are showing, yes, they're showing a particular, and the other group. But again, back to the Goswamis, look how unique they are. When we hear about the gopis, how unique they are, their characteristics, their movements, their the things that they say. When we read Prabodhananda Saraswati, how beautiful it is. Like, again, Guru Maharaj can say these things. We know Mahaprabhu is listening to Krishna Karanamritam of Bilva Mangal Thakur. And we know a few verses by the grace of Gurudev and Guru Maharaj. A few we've heard, and they're in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The one I always like, and it's sort of on theme. The scientist Maharaj, Shanta Maharaj, right? Some friends from Gujarat came, this family, and one brother's like a physicist, doctor, and the other one was something else. Anyway, I met their family. He said, like, oh, they'd like to meet, you know, preach to them. I was on Gurudev's balcony, or his veranda, the Sevak Bhavan in Calcutta. So, you know, I was telling them the kind of things that Srila Gurudev liked that are unique to him, like that only heard from him. Because I heard this from Prabhupada, I heard this from Guru Maharaj, but I heard this from Gurudev. So I can remember those final days on his bed. If I read to him a little bit from Krishna Karanamritam or something, he really liked to hear that. It would, just hearing a few words of a sloka, he'd finish it. And it was obviously making him happy, and he was relishing that. But then I thought of this one that I learned from him. So I told them, well, one he liked very much, it's a Krishna Karanamritam, is descriptions of Krishna. It's all the beauty of Krishna. I mean, to put it mildly, even that's an understatement. That's why Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani likes to hear somebody just one sloka after another about how beautiful Krishna is and the way he is and all of these things. I mean, we can't do it justice, but it's beyond what we can express. But that's where the sloka, one of the ones Guru Maharaj is like, Madhuram, Madhuram, Madhurasya Vibho, Vadanam, Madhuram, Vadanam. Madhugandhi mridu smitam etadaho madhuram, 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 madhuram. Saying, Krishna, he's sweet, 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 sweet. How sweet is he? And saying, if you see Krishna, he's very sweet. But if you look at the face of Krishna, that's sweeter than the rest. But then if on his face he smiles, that's even sweeter still. So it's obviously someone who's madly in love with Krishna and just... And 100, another 100, maybe 300 slokas like that. So I tell these people, oh, one, Srila Govinda Maharaj is like very much, it's a description of Krishna. What he looks like with his tilak and his, the pearl nose ring and just everything, and what he smells like, everything. It's very, and how he's decorated. Kosturi tilakam lalata palake bakshastale kostubam nashagre namamoktita karutai venam kare kankanam sarvanga harichandanam chakalayan kantej muktavalim gopa stri pariveshito vijayate gopala chudamani. And it concludes by saying, and that beautiful Krishna, he looks even more beautiful when he's in the center, surrounded by a bunch of gopis, the Braja gopis. What was the last line? Gopala Chudamani. Gopastri Parivesito Vijayate. That's when he's totally glorious. And that vision of Krishna conquers everything. Gopala Chudamani. Chudamani means the crown jewel. Anyway, so when I start saying this, the one scientist man, one of the brothers, jumps up and he goes, Kasturi Tilakam Lalatapala. And the whole family, like they stand at attention, they go, that is our family mantra. And I'm going, like, you can have things like that? Like, their family as a group chants that mantra every evening. I just happened to, like, stumble upon that. Right? But anyway, so that book is so beautiful and everything, right? But what about Prabodhananda Saraswati? He writes the Radha Rasa Shuddha Nidhi, which is like 270 slokas about the beauty of Radharani. So Guru Maharaj could say, then it's better than the Krishna Karnamrita. Because it's saying how beautiful, I mean, you know, in a better beyond the three worlds, that better. Not the better that's here better. I know. So that's the world that we want to connect with. And our good fortune, we met three such personalities. And in time, meaning Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Govinda Maharaj, in time we realized they're like all totally unique. And then it gives you a glimpse of like, oh, what is the spiritual world like? It's a place, as Guru Maharaj reminds us, he would say, Mahabhagavata is a rare thing here. Here, not there. Everyone there is a Mahabhagavata. Right? Vaikunthi prithivyadi sakala chinmoy. The soil is Mahabhagavatas. As Guru Maharaj said, it's the land of gurus. How can you walk there? That's not possible. Only out of service necessity could you dare set one foot inside the spiritual world. Well, these exalted souls are. So that is our own personal glimpse. We were saying the other day, talking about Shivananda Sen taking 200 Mahabhagavatas every year from Navadvip. Just imagine that. And I thought it must have been like humorous too, because we know what some of these exalted souls are like and their behavior and eccentricities and, you know, delightfully so. 200 of them, of those type of, and Shivananda Sen, he's like, gotta pay for everybody and get prasadam and, you know, you'll be under that tree over there for lunch, you know, and stuff like that. So the reason I know, and I mentioned Ramananda Sambhad is Guru Maharaj's ontological method is because he said so. That's how I know. It's not like I just discovered it. But I mean, I discovered it more after he said it. But he said, and Gurudev told me only, like, that's it for Guru Maharaj. That. And Guru Maharaj said, I get everything comes out of here. And so we see, and what's it all about is gradation. And you see things that are prominent in Guru Maharaj's representation are always about weighing and measuring and showing gradation, just as in the sloka that I quoted from the Bhakti Vinod Virahadasakam. He's identifying, this is Srup Damodar, here's his characteristic. Here's Sanatana Goswami, here's his quality characteristic, Rupa, Raghunath, Jiva, he can do that. Not everybody can do that. We just think, oh, they're all great souls. That's the safest thing for us to say. But in Guru Maharaj's world, we'll have to understand what the difference is. Why does Rupa Goswami write the Radhastakam and the Lalitastakam? If we, not that we have that capacity, but those who do, they can look in and say, oh, he's identifying specific qualities of Lalita Sakhi. Who would be more qualified to do that? Anyone else would do that. I mean, generally speaking, what is that? The person we want to hear Lalita Astakam is Rupa Goswami. Sri Rupa will tell you, these are the qualities. There's no more qualified person to tell us that. And it's also pointing out, these are the qualities of Srimati Radharani. That kind of thing. Guru Maharaj has that type of ability. Right? Gurudev always presented himself as Guru Maharaj's servitor, not competitor, servitor. But his way, there's some similarities. Like sometimes Gurudev would say, like once he said to me, and it's unique to his thinking, he said, if the Gayatri Mantra, all these different mantras, and the Sannyas Mantram, they were all in the same room, where would this Sannyas Mantram sit? That's how he thinks about things. Like it's like from a servitor point of view. He's saying, like, if I had to accommodate everybody, well, where would the Sannyas Mantram be, and how would I handle that? Many things. He had more psychological ability to understand people's hearts, that we can say. Just as we're told, when Guru Maharaj effected a compromise for the Gaudiya Math between the contentious parties, came time to, like, now everybody in agreement, let's all have some prasadam together. So they're all taking prasadam. Then it comes time for the sweets. And Gurudev, he must have been like probably in his 20s around this time. And he notices that Ananta Vasudeva Prabhu will not eat his rasgola. And for a Bengali to refuse a rasgola, I mean, it's like Chinese and sweet potatoes, you know. Not going to happen. Anyway, so Guru Maharaj is in another room. He goes back and tells Guru Maharaj, he said, Vasudeva Prabhu is not taking his rasgola. And Guru Maharaj is wondering, why? And remember, Guru Maharaj is so experienced, and he's going, why? I can't understand why. Gurudev, who's very young, he said, he thinks it's poisoned. So, like, we're all agreeing on everything. Now, in the very end, this would be a Bengali, you know, you give a poison rasgola, you know. So, that would be interesting enough, right? Guru Maharaj is like, oh. But then Gurudev says to Guru Maharaj, but if you offered it from your hand, I know he would accept it. Right? Why? And I'll explain. So Guru Maharaj goes and he picks up the rasgola. And if you want to learn something about faith, think about it. Before this, he's thinking, it could be poison and kill me. Now it's in the hand of someone he considers a Vaishnav. This is why we should be very careful about how we speak of these souls. Vasudeva Prabhu is thinking, from the hand of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, this cannot harm me. Whatever comes from his hand will be good for me. Right? It's like Arjuna, it's like Mahabharata, when they're thinking, what comes from Guru is good. Astra Guru and all that. Anyway, so he's thinking, so when it comes from Guru Maharaj, he eats it without hesitation. And later, when he finds out that it's all of this happened from Srila Govindamaraj, Srila Sridharmaraj, his young assistant, Gurudev said, Vasudeva Prabhu wanted to give him a gift, you know, recognition of his service and that he's someone special. And so Govindamaraj asked Gurudev, like, what should I ask for? Which was smart, too. Remember, he's being trained in Sanskrit at the time and everything. He said, the Harinamamrita Vyakaran of Jiva Goswami. So Vasudeva Prabhu gave him that book. So, you know, he also, Prabhupada Swamiraj identified when he did that Cholerpate article in Back to Godhead, Gaudiya Darshan, that he's a transcendental humorist. Swamiraj saw that, he said, people, it's hard for people to concentrate on philosophy, especially in the Kali Yuga. He said, but your way, you've written this story that it's funny, it's humorous, and all the philosophy is there at the same time. So that, to teach something from that. I always remember, in this case, Lalita going to this little refrigerator on the veranda and getting, like, basically green things, you could say, and showing them to Gurudev. He always has to see what everybody has. If you ever walked in the room, like, with a bag, he wants to see what's in your bag. You know? Like, some people in the West, like, that's rude. With him, it's not rude. He just has to do it. So she would just show him before even knowing that you have to do that. And he looks up, you know, and he likes to know what people are eating. Like, I mean, when they, that Harry Potter book, the last book, remember, it was like a big deal when the last book came out all over the world. People were up at bookstores at midnight, you know, and it was like on the news. You couldn't escape this thing. And there were a few Harry Potter fans there on the veranda too. And Gurudev said, I want to know, what does Harry Potter eat? So he had this fascination with food and eating. I mean, and not just prasadam, like the wide spectrum of consumption, we could say. But anyway, just always fascinated by it. So Lalita shows him what is, like, maybe, I don't know, spinach, lettuce, like a lot of green things. And Gurudev says, I can see that your Lord is Krishna. And everything, like, what does that mean? She just showed him, like, some things, and he goes, I can see your Lord is Krishna. And what he means is, what you're showing me, it looks like cow food. And Krishna, he's Govinda. He's the Lord of the cows. So what you're showing, what you eat, I can see that your Lord is Krishna. So he's like, it's funny, but at the same time, it has some ontology behind it. So sometimes I will think, he was capable of making Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada, and Guru Maharaj laugh. We can say, he served in this way, and he did, and those are all wonderful things and true. But he could also make them laugh. And, like, ontological spiritual laughter, things that are spiritually funny. And that the only place I've ever seen that are in these higher writings of the Goswamis, where the Braja Gopis are showing how clever they are with words and double meanings. Once he wrote some praise for one of those stellar Gaudiya Math figures I mentioned, and he was showing it to everybody. did you see what Govinda Maharaj wrote for my Vyas Puja? And they're like, oh, that's wonderful, wonderful. Then Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj was visiting. Babaji Maharaj, did you see what Govinda, look at, listen to this. And he starts reading it. And Babaji Maharaj goes, well, you know, that could go two ways. You know, like, what? And then he showed him that it was full of double meaning. And then he's like, stop showing it to everybody. And on that same point, Ban Maharaj was then Vrindavan, and Goswami Maharaj at his mat in Imlitala was making some like double entendre, double meaning remarks. And Ban Maharaj could understand that. No one else could understand that. So he felt safe, but he kept looking over at the young Govinda Maharaj to see, oh, he knows. So, and he praised them in another instance when he saw some details of the, oh, hello. Okay. When he saw some details of Saraswati Thakur receiving the governor, the British governor of Bengal at the time, Sir John Anderson. Oh, you're staying. I should say, Yat Kinchit Trigumakik Kata Mukham Goste Samastamitat Sarvananda Mukunda Daitam Lilanukulam Param. He says, Saraswati Thakur is wearing a garland, and the governor has a garland, but Goswami Maharaj, who was like, set the whole thing up, he doesn't have a garland. And Srila Govinda Maharaj says to Goswami Maharaj, why are you not wearing a garland? And Goswami Maharaj says, well, why should I be wearing a garland? The two most important people there, Prabhupada, Saraswati, he has a garland, and the governor has a garland. And go, no, you should also have a garland. But I can understand who's giving the garland. You were garlanded, but who's making the garlands? They were late and didn't have enough garlands. So you took your garland and you put it on the governor of Bengal. And Goswami Maharaj said to Gurudev, you have surpassed Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. Because Vishwanath's always giving all these details. You know, if Krishna, if night blooming jasmine is in the air, what does that mean? That the what the eastern horizon being filled with moonlight, what is that? Like these very esoteric details. So Goswami Maharaj said, you have surpassed Vishwanath Chakrabarti. So he has his own unique position. But himself, sometimes he would say that he goes for like fine points, which are sometimes ontologically problematic. He can identify what those points are. That's his focus. Even the word vikriditam, not vikriditam, what is it? Hladini Shaktir, what is that? Radha Krishna Pranaya, vikritir. Well, it's similar. Vikritir. Gurudev told me that word, vikritir, which he said that he'd been thinking about it for 30 years, this word, what it can mean. Repeatedly thinking about that word in that sloka, what does it mean? And sometimes he'd throw something out and some devotees start, oh, it means, and he'd go, no, Prabhu, I know what we say it means. I know what our standard answer is to this. But on a deeper level, what does it mean? So always some fine point, you know. He once said to Guru Maharaj, and mind-bending thing, can God commit suicide? Yajavar Maharaj, don't say that. What are you? But gave answer, he said, in Brahma Jyoti, it's also mildly humorous. He asked Guru Maharaj, who is Das Goswami's Diksha Guru? Guru Maharaj, very fine question. because technically it's a long story. But anyway, Yadu Nandanacharya really Swarup Damodar. That's the short answer. But there's a story that goes with it. Anyway, just fine points. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Shah Padantikam. He has a special interpretation of this. Hare Krishna. Huh? Oh, it's based on Sanskrit words. It's a little technical. And you see, like the slokas the other day, his everyone in ISKCON, of course, will, saying, Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namini. Right. But technically speaking, it's short a syllable. It's off by one syllable. But, Bhavagrahi Janardhan, it's the mood that counts and everything. But when Gurudev wrote four pranams for Srila Swami Maharaj, not only did he adjust that, but he included the word Prabhupada. So it becomes Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Swami Sri Bhaktivedanta Prabhupadaya Te Namaha. He improved and included the word Prabhupada. So, who's a Prabhupada Nuga? Certainly he is. And four slokas he could condense his pastimes, such nice, Shakta Vesha Swarupine Hare Krishneti Mantrena Paschatya Prachacharini. And include Radharani and just some, and four very beautiful. These aratis, like the Giriraj arati. I remember seeing some of these things. He wrote like with a full veranda. He didn't go into a room by himself like you would think someone would do. Like, don't bother me, I'm composing. Like, you have to go into isolation, not be disturbed by anything. It could be a full room of him and his writing, composing. They're not disturbing him, the zone, the plane that he is in. Hare Krishna.